A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Psachim Kuf Yud Aleph, Psachim 111b, pagination page 222. I'd like to do something on Amud Beis and then see something on Amud Aleph. So if you'll please join in the wide lines, count up from the bottom about 15 lines. It's actually about midway in the wide lines between top and bottom. The first word on the line is Abaye, and Abaye is the Talmudic scholar who shows up quite a bit over here as having been an expert in these issues of damage that cannot typically be seen by regular sight, spiritual issues, and Abaye apparently was able to detect these things, as we'll see from this story, which the Gemara records. Abaye Avashaka V'Ozil, Abaye was going on his way, V'Ozil Rav Papa Miminei, and Rav Papa was on his right side, V'Rav Huna B'Reid Rav Yeshua Mismolei, and Rav Yehuna B'Reid Rav Yeshua was on his left side. Chazye, he saw, he perceived, Lahu Ketev Meriri, some sort of damaging force, Deka'osi La'apei Dismalei, that was coming towards his left, making Rav Huna B'Reid Rav Yeshua vulnerable. Ahadra L'Rav Papa L'Smalei, U'L'Rav Huna B'Reid Rav Yeshua L'Minei. So he told these two Tamidei Chachamim to switch sides. So now he had Rav Papa on his left where this negative energy was targeting. And they continued. Rav Papa apparently realized what Abaye had done. Omale Rav Papa. And Rav Papa tells him, Ana mai shana d'lo chashash li. Why am I unique that you didn't worry about me? Why did you put me in the line of fire? Amale and Abaye told him exactly as you detected. You're wondering. A good question is half the answer. You're wondering why I didn't worry about you. You're right. I'm not worried about you. Amale told him, At shaita kayem esloch. Your mazel is good. You're protected. You're on good turf. You're not vulnerable. And because you're not vulnerable, I was willing to put you in the place where this negative force was trying to adhere itself. Don't worry. You won't get hurt by it. Take a look at Rashbam. Five lines from the bottom of the page. The first word on the line is Ezuk. And then we have the Rashbam that says, Shaitak haimoloch, the times are good for you, the mazel is good for you. So Rashbam says, Oshir ato, you're a wealthy person. V'yesh lecha mazel tov, you have good mazel, v'lo tizek, you won't get damaged. And therefore Abaye was willing to alter the configuration of their way of walking because he felt like this, Rav Huna B'Reid Rav Yeshua won't get damaged, and Rav Papa, I'm not worried about him, he won't get damaged either. Okay. Let's take a look on Amud Aleph. We also have something that is somewhat esoteric, not 100% clear what it is that Chazal were worried about, but let's do the text and let's see how it plays itself out in Halacha. If you'll drop down in the wide lines to about midway, the last word on the line is Hakelev, midway between top and bottom of the wide, and then drop earlier on that line, Tuf Resh Tanu Rabbanon. Tanu Rabbanon, we learned, Shalosha Ein Mematzin V'lo Mismatzin. There are three things that you don't want to be in the middle, and you don't want to be the one causing them to be in the middle. each of these has very different reasons, but one of them is Isha, a woman. So this statement was being addressed to men, and they're being told, don't go between women, and don't be the one to cause a woman to go between you. Don't cause them to be in between. Ein mematzin velo mismatzin. Don't be in between, and don't cause others to be in between of you being a participant of causing them to be in between. So we have a halacha here, which is actually brought very interestingly. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch mentions it, Aruch HaShulchan mentions it, Kitzur is in Simen Gimel, Aruch HaShulchan is in Simen Beis, that a man should not walk in between two women, and likewise, they should pay attention that a woman should not walk between them. Now, some poskim say that this is not relevant nowadays. The Ben Yehoyada on this Gemara again references the concept that these forces are much weaker nowadays, although he does mention afterwards that a person should make an effort to be careful about this. But he's a little bit toned down about how serious this is. This concept comes up both regarding the possibility of getting damaged and regarding a halacha of kasha l'shikcha, that a person who does this could forget his Torah learning. Perhaps either way, or certainly in the case of being damaged, the question comes up, if this is women that you know, and you're not worried that they're doing anything bad to you, they're not like in the Gemara that comes up over here, that they're locking in some sort of kishuf, some sort of sorcery. I mean, you know these people, they're trustworthy people. Does this halacha still apply or not? It's actually brought in the Sefer Shmiras Guf V'Nefesh, Simen Kuf Yud Aleph, he goes so far as to say that if a man has two wives, like the Taimanim, the Yemenite Jews, at the time that he was writing this, he wonders if a man is allowed to walk between his own wives. Clearly, that's using an approach that even though you know the people are reliable, it's just an intrinsic, it creates some sort of negative force when you walk in that configuration. Be that all as it may, it's mentioned by the Gemara, and it's definitely something that we consider in practical halacha. The most prominent place I believe that it comes up is by the mitzvah of shura, to make a row of comforters after a levaya, after a burial. After we finish up tzuras hakever by the grave, so we have the mourners walk by a row of comforters. The typical configuration is to do two rows, one on each side, and to have the mourners walk down the middle. What happens if you have, let's say, a woman mourner walking between two rows of men? Is that a violation of this statement? Again, we're looking at this Gemara. We may not know why the Gemara was careful about this, but the fact is it's on the books. And what considerations should be taken in such a case? So there are a lot of things to consider. I'll just throw a few at you, and then it becomes the job of the officiating rabbi to kind of figure out what the best solution is. One solution, which is practiced in some communities, is that you do two different rows, one for men, one for women, and it's literally separated. Another approach, Gesher HaChayim mentions that there are actually two options how to form the shura. The word shura is in the singular, so it doesn't really have to be that they walk through two adjoining rows of comforters. You could have one shura, one row of comforters, and they walk alongside the row, in which case you're not in violation because no one is walking in between opposite gender. Another possibility, which I've seen some Rabbonim recommend, is that you do one side men and one side women, and that's how you form your shura of comforters. The Ben Ish Chai, in the second volume, Parshas Pinchas, towards the end of the section, mentions two other interesting considerations. One is that if the two rows of people are more than four amos from each other, then they're not locked into each other. They're not considered in the same place, that you're walking in between them. They're four amos apart, like 7 feet apart. So if you would do the shura, whether we recommend this or not, but a simple solution is just make space. And if you make space so that they're far enough away from each other that you're not Dalet Amos walking in between them, perhaps the Ben Ish Chai might say that that's sufficient. Conversely, one can argue that you're actually walking in between them, Bikavana, in between them. It's hard to say whether that's a violation of the Gemara or not, and not to be recommended. Another thing that he writes is that if you're walking with other people, so you walk side by side with other people, you're not really in between them, you're in between the people that you're walking with. And perhaps that as well is a solution. Yashar Koach, have a wonderful day.